All right, friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we move through this journey in Les Miserables, last week we talked about Jean Valjean, otherwise known as 24601. And this week we move from the hero of the story, as Miss Becky mentioned, to the antagonist of the story, Javert. Now, Javert begins his life born to parents who are in prison. And from that life, he seeks to live a life devoted to the law and upholding it first as a prison guard and then as a police inspector. The law and justified punishment for breaking the law are black, white, and absolute in Javert's mind. Now, to follow all of the laws, all of the time, for all of your life means that you get to stay out of prison and have a free life. But steal bread for a hungry child, go to prison. Try to escape from that prison, go back to prison and spend longer there. Refuse to carry your papers that label you as a criminal, go back to prison. Once a criminal in Javert's mind, always a criminal. Hence why Jean Valjean, no longer in his mind, has the name given to him at birth, but simply a number that represents his status as a criminal and reminds everyone that he belongs nowhere except in prison as 24601. Returning Jean Valjean to his rightful home in prison becomes an obsession because justice is not served until Jean Valjean is back behind bars doing hard labor. For so many of us, this is human justice in its essence. It seeks for people to receive what they deserve. You know, you break it, you buy it, right? You do the crime, you do the time. Human justice is seen in the Old Testament law in this way. It's pretty black and white. You break God's law, there's a prescribed punishment for how you pay for breaking the law. Break the relationship with God, pay your debt, repair the relationship with God. Black and white. Now, black and white justice is like walking into a store for a gallon of milk. Some of us as parents do this way too often. Now, let's say a gallon of milk costs $3. You pick it up out of the cooler, you head to the front counter, and what do? You pay your $3 to be able to take home your milk to your children. The cost of the milk, it's not dependent on what you can pay, how much you deserve it, or how desperately you need it. It is simply based on a fixed cost of what you must pay to receive it. Pretty black and white, isn't it? It is just and it is fair by human definition. Everybody pays the price that's upon it. Now we see in the story of Les Miserables, much like we see upon the cross, that when mercy collides with justice, grace is able to win. Everything goes from black and white to this world of gray. Did you see it in the Pharisees and Sadducees? As Jesus Christ, with his grace and mercy colliding in with justice and God's law, created this gray area, and the Pharisees and Sadducees just could not handle it. They, like Javert, needed this black and white world of laws and obeying them or become punished. But when mercy collides with justice, when grace comes into the picture and this gray emerges, all of a sudden, if we go back to our analogy, the price of milk is no longer a fixed cost. It becomes a starting point, maybe for negotiation, and a person's situation, but moreover, the owner of the milk's heart comes into play of whether or not that gallon of milk must be paid for and how it becomes received. Now, when Jean Valjean shows mercy to Javert, it shakes Javert to his core, much like Jesus did to those Pharisees and Sadducees. Because it goes against everything that he has lived his life to uphold, does it not? He decides he is no longer able to live because to continue life would accept Valjean's mercy and would go against everything that he represents and has vowed to uphold in his career. As he is trying to wrestle with what has happened and what he is going to do, he sings the lines, "Who is this man? What sort of devil is he? To have me caught in a trap and chooses to let me go free? It was his hour at last to put a seal on my fate, wipe up the past and watch me clean up the slate. All it would take was a flick of his knife. Vengeance was his, and he gave me back my life." Javert is struggling. And what does he do? But he chooses no life over a life where he would be in debt to Jean Valjean. Having to live with that grace and that second chance at life without earning it was too much for him to handle. In addition, continuing to live would challenge him to accept the grace of Jean Valjean and deny the law that says he should be in prison, or uphold the law putting him in prison and deny the grace that Jean Valjean had showed him. For Javert, the two are not able to collide. The two are not able to come together and work as a team and live with one another. And so he chooses not to live. Legalists like Javert tried to trap Jesus in his time, challenging him, like Javert, to choose between upholding the law and showing grace. At one of those moments, it was a woman caught in sin, and she was brought before Jesus, and they challenged him, "What do we do with her? What does God's law say? God's law says she is to be stoned to death." Quite a punishment for that woman. Well, Jesus looks at her, not defined by her sin, not defined by what she was caught in, not defined by the status that has her kneeling most likely before him, but he sees before him a child of God. And what does he do? He chooses not law or grace, essentially, but he chooses for it to go into the hands of the people. He looks at them and he says, "Okay, the punishment is stoning. If you are without sin, if you are perfect, go ahead, pick up a stone and take your aim." Then he begins to write in the sand. We have no idea what he was writing, but we know that while he was looking down, focused on the earth before him, one by one, everyone in the crowd quietly goes home, not able to cast a stone, because let's admit it, no human is sinless and perfect. He looks at the woman, picks her up, asks her, "Is nobody left to condemn you?" She says, "No." And he tells her to go home and sin no more. The law is the law. But there's this gray area, isn't there? Now we see that one. But we see Jesus at one point also being challenged, who tells a parable. And he tells the parable of a master who brings one of his servants before him. And he says, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold, a huge debt you owe me. Pay it up or go to jail. The servant looks at him and he says, Master, have mercy on me. There's no way I could pay that back. The master chooses to have mercy on the man and sends him away free. Now, what does the servant do? Goes and finds another man who had a much smaller debt, almost nothing compared to the debt he had to the master, and tells him, pay me or go to jail. And the man, like him, says, have mercy on me. There's no way I can pay that. And what does the servant do but sends him off to jail? When the master sees him once again and hears what he has done, he says, how dare you ask me for mercy, which I granted you, and then turn around and deny mercy to a brother who owed so much less than you, and sent the man off to jail. Jesus looked at the crowd and he said, you have received mercy. Go and show mercy. You see, God's justice seeks to bring God's creation into wholeness. Once we were restored to a righteous place with God in relationship and wholeness by the cross, we are called to go to restore others and to bring wholeness to them as well. What does it challenge us to do? To not idolize Jean Valjean while following the ways of Javert, seeking to idolize mercy while holding the law and giving no grace. Biblical justice, unlike human justice, means to make right. It is no longer, as Jesus said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but turn the other cheek. To live in right relationship with God and one another becomes the goal, as opposed to giving somebody what they deserve. To hold a right relationship with both God and one another, we must seek a justice that flows out of God's grace in our hearts and mercy that was given to us freely, not because we deserve it. It sounds so simple, but we also know it's not nearly as simple as it sounds, because after all, we are human and we are prone to wander off the right path. And as we talk about justice, we also know that we are prone to prejudice. It's a very similar sounding word, where we judge others before we truly know them. To look first at a criminal number, skin color, economic status, accent, visible sexuality, age, gender, or any other immediate status that we can see, and to make a determination of the character of the person before knowing the person on the inside. Javert saw Jean Valjean as a criminal and believed him as only able to make the decisions a criminal would make, even though Jean Valjean shows mercy and gives him his life. So how do we determine when somebody is worthy of justice and grace and when somebody needs to be accountable for their actions? I think the first is to see the transformation of our shirts that we've worn today. I don't know if you saw Miss Becky and Miss Rachel and Miss Leah in the band, and the one that I wear last week was 24601, Jean Valjean's criminal number. The only way that Javert could see him. But you know, in this song, where Javert is talking about what Jean Valjean has done, he does not call him 24601, but after that act of mercy, calls him Valjean. You see on this shirt, it is not numbers, it is not status, it is not sins, but it is names. Valjean, Javert, Fantine, Cosette, Marius, Eponine. They are the names that are personal to these characters. It is who they are, not what they have done. They are the names that we are invited to learn. They are the people who we are invited to get to know through the story. And so how do we live in that way? Knowing that God does not see us by a number. God does not define us by our sins or our lowest and weakest moments. But God sees us for who we truly are. Our scripture this morning from 2 Timothy talks about the essence of scripture being God breathed, the breath of God giving us life and instruction through the words on the pages. It tells us it is for study and reproof and learning and growing. But the most important we see is in the very last verse when it says, you have read and you have studied and you have memorized and you have grown in the word. Why? To be able to do good works. So as we think about justice and grace and mercy colliding, how do we make sure that when we experience that collision, when we find that wrestling, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to decide, how do we seek what's breathed of God? To allow the scriptures, especially those words of Christ, our Savior, who we follow, to guide us. How do we seek for that breath of God to be breathed upon us, the Holy Spirit, to help guide us? How do we make sure that we have sought our wholeness in our relationship with God and with our neighbor to be so deep that Christ is ingrained in us and is pushing us the way we are called to go. We need to seek to not be self-reliant, believing that we can do it on our own, that we can pick ourselves up from our bootstraps and we need no one else. But how do we humble ourselves and be fully reliant on Christ, allowing Christ in that relationship to restore us continually, to make us whole when we break, and to help us to do the same with others. So let us not follow the lead of Hollywood and fictional accounts, but of the one true God who lived and died for us and will continue to pursue us until the end of our lives. Not to punish us like Javert wanted to do with Jean Valjean, but to offer us grace upon grace out of the unconditional love in God's heart. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for knowing our name, for not seeing us by the worst of us, but seeing us in the way that we truly are, your beloved creation, your glorious masterpiece. but as we seek for you to see us in that way, we ask you to help us to see others around us in the same way, to not pursue justice that punishes, but to pursue grace that restores and gives new life. May all this be possible because of your breath that comes through your word and through your Holy Spirit in us, as we give praise for each of these in your most holy name. Amen.